Good evening and welcome to Around Cincinnati. I'm Ron Esposito, and we're going to have a great conversation this evening with Richard Loren. He just put out a book entitled High Notes, a Rock Memoir, working with rock legends Jefferson Airplane through the Doors to the Grateful Dead. Richard says the 60s were an immense concentration of cultural energies, bursting with incredible artists and music. The seeds of the anti-war, civil rights, and women's movement were all planted in the 60s. We were young and idealistic, and these powerful movements united us all. It was a time during which we all shared love, compassion, and hope as we experienced successes and failures in trying to understand life's truths. And Loren later says, along the way, I learned more than I ever imagined about the avarice of the music business, the fragility of the artist, the magic of the muse, and the transformative power of music. A powerful statement, and we welcome to the microphone Richard Loren. Hey, Richard, how you doing this evening?
I'm doing great, Ron. Thanks so much for having me on the show. It's a pleasure.
Hey, you kind of got set up early in life to follow your muse in music, didn't you?
Yeah, well, I got set up basically by none other than Liberace. I was a tent theater manager outside Baltimore right after I got out of college, and he was doing a show there for a week, and he had some issues that I had to deal with as the manager of the theater, and I performed them well enough for him to suggest to his agent that they hire me as an agent in New York. And that's exactly kind of how it started. I went up to New York and was interviewed, and they gave me the job right away, and that gave me my start in the music world. I was sitting behind a desk. I was appointed an agent in charge of colleges from Maine to Florida. Ironically, the talent that this agency represented weren't the kind of artists that colleges wanted at the time. It was just before the explosion of the mid-60s of rock music, and they just had mainstream artists. So I had to go out and troll for talent in Greenwich Village in order to keep my job so that I would have acts to sell to these schools. And the first one that I ran across actually was the Jefferson Airplane down at the Cafe Agogo in New York.
After the Airplane, you became the booking agent for the Doors, as well as the Chambers Brothers. And interestingly enough, Richard, your Italian family background kind of prepared you emotionally for your career in the music business, don't you think?
Absolutely. I came from a lot of musicians in my family. My dad was a violinist. My aunt was a singer. My other aunt was a piano player. I'm in the Juilliard. And so I was exposed to a lot of music, albeit classical music, but they were really entertaining family. And I grew up listening to a lot of music in the household. And I started playing a little music myself, but I didn't have a really good experience with my piano teacher. And I just fused to actually listening to music and studying music more than actually playing. So that got me all geared up to be actually in the entertainment business.
And once you got into the entertainment business, brother, you were like on the cutting edge of the zeitgeist of the time and really became a whole part of everything that was happening. I mean, you couldn't have gotten more on the edge than Jefferson Airplane and the Doors, that's for sure, huh?
That's for sure. You know, and I was really fortunate to gain my rites of passage with a lot of these rock icons who were my age, but they were more experienced than I was in lots of ways. They'd experimented with drugs early on, and they turned me on to marijuana, and they turned me on to a whole another consciousness and a whole another way of life. And I actually, as I started as an agent, I found myself less inclined to be with the business people that I work with than actually with the artists who I really bonded with more. And I really felt that I became aware of the sensitivity and their need to be protected. And I don't know, I just loved musicians, of course, because I grew up with them. And I found music to be a kind of magic that they produced. It cast the spell of enchantment on all of us who listen to music. If you're moved by music, you really experience its power. Musicians are really, they're magicians. And, of course, no one was more aware or immersed in the mystery of music than people like Jerry Garcia and Grace Slick and Marty Ballin and Jim Morrison, of course, and The Doors and so on. So it was quite a great experience for me. I was a lucky guy.
And you mentioned after your time as a booking agent in New York City, you moved out to San Francisco and you became Jerry Garcia's personal manager, and then you were the booking agent for the Grateful Dead and ended up managing the Grateful Dead. What years were you associated with the Dead and Garcia?
Well, I kind of did my 2 or 3 years in New York learning how to be an agent and dismissing that as a career because I didn't want to stay involved with the business people that I felt less connected to than with the musicians. And I quit in 1969 and moved to Europe for a year. And then when I came back, I didn't really know quite what to do. And I ran into an old musician friend of mine, David Grisman, who had met Jerry Garcia back in 1964 at a bluegrass festival. Jerry was playing the banjo then, and David was playing the mandolin, and they got to know each other. But I met David when he was starting to put a rock band together back in 1967 with Peter Rowan, a band called Earth Opera. And then that didn't make it, and then when I went to Europe, the Earth Opera disbanded. When I came back, I just happened to run into David Grisman on the street in Greenwich Village, and we got to form a company together to promote a couple of young artists, Peter Rowan's younger brothers. And at one point, David noticed that Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead were coming to town in 1970, was when I re-met David again, and he gave Jerry a call, and he got some backstage passes for us, and we went to the show at the Fillmore East. And backstage at 4 o'clock in the morning, after a long, long concert with the New Riders and Jerry playing and the Dead playing acoustic and electric, I got to meet Jerry, and we spent a couple hours together backstage, and he actually suggested that David and I move out to California with our two clients, and we did, and that's where I fused my relationship with Jerry. And when our involvement with these two younger brothers didn't really come to fruition, Jerry hired me to be his personal manager when I was kind of looking for something to do. He said, "Hey, man, why don't you come work for me? I need a lot of help doing stuff outside the Grateful Dead. I'm playing with Merle Saunders. I'm doing some recordings, and I actually can't keep up with everything, and it'd be great to have you on board." So in the New York Second, I just jumped on that opportunity and thus began my career with the Grateful Dead and company.
What a long, strange trip it was, huh, brother?
It certainly is.
Hey, man, it seems like the high point of your time with the Grateful Dead was probably the concerts at the pyramids of Giza in Egypt.
Yeah, I would say that in the Chronicles of the Grateful Dead history, that's probably one of the most significant events that they actually did, and it really came actually quite synchronistically. While the band was on hiatus in 1974, I went to Egypt, actually at the behest of an old friend, Marty Ballin, the lead singer of the Jefferson Airplane. Marty was a big reader and a fan of the occult and just a lot of interesting stuff. He was quite a character. And I lived with Marty for about a couple of months when I first moved to California. And I was reading some of his books on Egypt, and I said to myself, boy, I really have to get to Egypt one of these days. The mysteries there were really interesting to me. And when the Grateful Dead went on hiatus in 74, I went to Egypt, and I found the Arabs to be kind of like hippies in a way. They got high, they relaxed, time didn't seem to matter. And after I'd been there about a week or so, I was riding a camel around the pyramids and the Sphinx, and I looked out over my shoulder, and I saw a stage, and it all kind of hit me. You know, a light bulb went off in my head, and I thought, the Dead could play here. And one thing led to another. I got to meet some people, and they reassured me of the possibility, some Egyptians. I met some tour directors through an Arab friend of mine that I connected with. And next thing you know, I went back to San Francisco, and I told Jerry about it in the band. They said, "Wow, man, that'd be great. Let's do it." The band appointed Phil Lesh, their bass player, and another colleague of mine, Alan Trist, to go with me on a scouting mission to lay the groundwork to organize it. We went to Washington. We met with the U.S. Egyptian ambassador to the State Department. We met the American ambassador to Egypt. Next thing you know, we had a signed contract to play 3 shows at the front of the Great Pyramid. It was an extraordinary phenomenon. The moon was in full lunar eclipse on the third night. It happened to coincide with the Camp David peace agreement. The synergy was extremely powerful. It was quite an event.
Well, I tell you what, We have been in conversation with Richard Loren, talking about his latest book. It's called High Notes, a Rock Memoir, working with rock legends Jefferson Airplane, Through the Doors, to the Grateful Dead. Richard, we want to really thank you for joining us this evening.
Hey, it's been my pleasure, Ron. Thanks a lot, and hello, Cincinnati.
For Around Cincinnati, I'm Ron Esposito. Have a great evening.